In the name of Jesus, amen. Our focus for today comes from Mark chapter 4, from the parable that Jesus spoke of automatically growing vegetables, growing fruit. I'm not much of the gardening type, so I can't really speak to how plants grow, but I'm pretty sure you all know a gardener or gardening enthusiast, and I can't help but think that they would have a difficulty with maybe a passage like this, that the seed just automatically just grows and produces fruit. Knowing certain people that like growing things, gardening, they put a lot of care and attention to making it grow properly, having the strict watering schedule, making sure the right amount of light is given, and putting all the type of effort into making something grow. And even myself, I did try once with my own little home plant, you know, little home thing to spice up the place. And I watered it, you know, did the every other day and made sure it had enough light. But as maybe some of you experience, somehow it still just withers and dies and can't really explain it. Maybe I just didn't have the right tools or maybe the wrong plant type and how to take care for it. But I feel like someone like that who's a bit of a plant enthusiast would have trouble with understanding how plants can just, seeds and sprouts and grows after you just scatter it on the ground. But maybe for us it's not too hard out here in the evergreen state where it seems like life just grows out of everything and you get the trees that are green all year round and the spring comes around and maybe we take for granted some of those plants that do have better consistency of growing in this environment. And so we realize we don't need to give it that much attention or care and work towards it. The parable that Jesus speaks then in the gospel is, I think, more simple to understand on the surface for us. More than those confusing parables with the weird language and how he kind of organizes it in a way that's just difficult. For us, this one kind of comes through pretty straightforward. Especially when we think about the parable that came right before, the one with the four soils, the sower who scatters the seed along the ground and it falls everywhere. It goes either in the road or it goes in the rocks or in the thorns and then some land on the good soil. That one, if we think of that compared to this, we could see that the good soil is the one that produces that good fruit, the good seed that comes out with great good plants, while the others, the road, the seed is taken away by the birds, the rocks, the roots can't dig in, and so they're choked out, and then among the thorns, as the plants start to grow, also are choked out. And so maybe with that in mind, approaching this parable isn't too difficult. It's actually rather simple. Jesus just continues what he was saying, that with the seed going into the good soil, of course the seed is going to grow. And the man who is there, who scatters it, doesn't know how. He sleeps and goes to bed and rises and it just comes up and the seed is filled and full of fruit. And as the seed matures and the plant grows, then it comes the harvest and of course you just take in what has grown. So maybe for us out here, the parables might actually be easier to understand. We can make the connections pretty quickly. Jesus is saying, like in the previous one, that the seed is the word of God. It is the word sent out and brought to the good soil. And the good soil is the reign and rule of God, God's kingdom on earth, God's kingdom of people who are in his church, in his chosen. And from that, the seed will grow from that. Much like the rain in Isaiah 55, like the rain and snow falls, the word of the Lord will not come back empty-handed. And so the seed here also just produces. The word continues to grow without much, with zero effort from the one who scattered it. There's no human assistance involved, but the word just grows on the soil, on the good earth. It's pretty easy to understand what this parable is talking about. For the kingdom of God is the word that grows on the good soil without any human help, without any assistance. What we offer, what we bring to it is absolutely nothing. We don't do anything to it. We can't grow it ourselves. We can't take care of it or find the right schedule and cultivate it ourselves. I think the challenge with this parable for us is the way we see it actually working. Because while it might be simple for us to maybe just understand and see what Jesus is saying, this is how the kingdom of God works, this is how the word grows, it can be hard for us to actually see the reality of what Jesus speaks. And that's where the difficulty of this parable applies for us. It becomes clear because I think the danger of Jesus Christ's parable is that it's easy to act as if the parable isn't true at all. Because you know there are so many that you and I know who have not believed. They may have heard the word. They may have been in church, this very church even, but they show no signs of faith and life in Christ. Indeed, there are those who once filled our pews with joy in their heart and smiles on their faces, but now we see no evidence of that word having done its work. And maybe we resonate better with the parable from before, whether it be the work of Satan who sweeps in like the birds and removes the word, or when the trials and troubles arise because of the world and they're not rooted in deep enough, and so they can't endure and fall away, or the cares of the world and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and proves unfruitful. We might resonate more with that parable, and we might see that in reality more than what Jesus speaks here about the seed that just grows without our help, without our assistance. Because it's hard to simply accept and trust that the seed will grow, that the word would just work. And to think that we can expect that would be, well, frankly, naive and foolish. And we don't need to just look at our own church to know the number of people who identify as Christian is drastically falling down, especially where we are. And we do have those loved ones who have heard of Jesus but show no signs of believing. And in such a context like ours, it would be easy for us to question what Jesus has to say. It would be discouraging not to at least have any results or any evidence. And it makes perfect sense why many of us would grow weary and tired. And it would be natural to question whether God is really in charge of it and tempting to give up and throw in the towel of our Christian witness. And I think the other temptation is much like dealing with a houseplant that I tried to keep alive. If only I knew the type of plant better. If it's tempting to start intervening, to do the work myself and use God's word to make it sound better, to make it more effective. I mean, if I, with my houseplant, can understand these mysterious properties so that perhaps the next time I get one, I can better take care of it. I can put it in the light at a proper time, give a stricter water schedule. If I can trim the leaves and cut off what is dead, then obviously the houseplant will grow. And so why not use the same reason with the Word of God, with our own church? Why don't I just intervene and maybe see myself as only helping God's Word to work? Perhaps if we change the music, or if we react and address the events and culture as they come out, or include beverages when we walk in, or more ways to entertain, more opportunities for fun events, maybe then God's Word will work and it will influence people's lives and grow. Because frankly, what Jesus speaks in his parable is too simple. The seed can't grow on its own. We know it's true that God works through means. He works through people. He uses people to deliver his word to God's people. And so he does use good things that we can use to help benefit our lives and help to convey the message, to deliver Christ's message as a church. But just as much as it's easy to act as if this parable isn't true, it's far easier still to act as if God needs us. As if he needed me to do his work. As if he needed my brilliant personality, my charm, my ideas to help cultivate the word in others' lives. When in reality, Jesus is telling you that he doesn't need you to assist. He doesn't need what you offer to let his word work and grow. No, the message that Jesus speaks to you is one of patience and trust. I sometimes get uncomfortably fascinated by adult converts or people who had fallen away from the church and come back after years of being away. And sometimes they come in with more zeal and fervor for the gospel message than me, which is embarrassing. Maybe too often I'm jealous because they do show that. Because for me, I've never thought of leaving or have always grown up in it, and it's always been a part of my life, and never have I questioned it to the point where going out was the right option. So what fascinates me is often the question for these adult converts and people who return, like, how? Like, what appealed to you? Why now? Why is this something that's important to you? Because I can't imagine being new, and I can't imagine leaving and coming back. But I often want to ask these people, what got you to come to church? What got you to believe and have faith? And many of them, if you know and have had your own conversations, come up with great reasons and encouragement and testimonies, like sense of community and belonging, a need to turn life around, a realization of bigger things going on. And if you hear them, you know it's encouraging and powerful to your own faith. But I think the one I found to be the most profound was so simple and so mysterious. It was a friend who'd fallen away, and he came back to the Lord after a long time. And I asked, well, why now? What made you see this as important? What made you want to be a part of this? Come back, I guess. And he was really trying to think of something. He was kind of fumbling around as he was trying to explain it. Well, I knew I should. I needed structure. My family would like it. It seemed like the right thing to do. But then he just said, after a bit of a pause, honestly, I really don't know. I guess God worked in me. I know that's nothing earth-shattering, and maybe it is a little too pious for my taste. God worked in me. But the way he fumbled around trying to give me a reason, and then the resolve in his face, and the eyes followed by the words, I don't really know, God worked in me, encouraged and freed me in a new way. He encouraged me in knowing that God's word does work. And it freed me from thinking that I can offer more assistance in making that word work. For the promise in our text in Mark chapter 4 remains the simple message that God works as the word of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. God works as the word of Jesus is made known. And that the life of faith grows from nothing but the commands and promises of Jesus spoken by God's people. We know not how, and we do not know when, but God works according to his perfect will and his perfect timing. And as his rule and reign spreads, as his kingdom unfolds, many people will find a home that is safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Much like our Ezekiel text, where the branches house the birds, and it extends out and covers a multitude, much like we as the church who receive that word and watch it grow in us, not only benefits me, but it benefits others around me, those who are important to my life and I care for. The promise you received, that you can maybe look back and offer powerful instances and moments when God called you to be his own, how he used strong and powerful means like loved ones and friends and pastors and teachers to bring that message to you. But ultimately, we know it was God's word that worked and brought you in his safe and secure place. God's promises are the same for you as they are for others. And so, we are led by our Savior, Jesus Christ, this day to be patient and trust in what he says. Like the word works. We just watch it grow. So let it grow. And how we do that doesn't need to be flashy, but just in our faithful witness wherever God has placed you. You live out God's word of truth in your life as you take special care of the responsibilities he's given you. You live as if what you received is true. Because God is working even when the world seems to suggest that it's having no effect. But you live honest and truthful lives secured in the word of promise of Jesus Christ. God has given you a special place to work. Let God's truth manifest in your lives by taking those responsibilities he's called you to with purpose, meaning, and courage. I know it may seem that what you say and what you have done has had no effect. Be patient and trust that God's word is at work. Let it grow and remain trusting that he will fulfill his purpose. In the name of Jesus. Amen.